And now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Anchor edition of Choked Out Radio. I know it's been a long time, a lot to talk about. Jim Rassell here. I will be at House of Glory August 9th to see my boys, the Young Bucks. But I'm here to talk to you about the G1 29 Climax real quick. So much Lucha Libre going on. Jim Rassell here, ladies and gentlemen. And wow, the past couple of nights have been some great, great matches in the G1 tournament. Jay White. Que pasa? Naito. What que pasa? But it's all good. It's all good. I think at the end of the day, I think either Jay White or Ibushi wins the tournament. But earlier today, Tanahashi, outstanding matchup with Kenta, formerly known as Hideo Itami in NXT, and he has no points. He lost to Okada opening night in Dallas, and he lost again to Kenta this go round. He was the G1 28 champion last year, where he defeated Kenny Omega at the Tokyo Dome at Wrestle Kingdom. So now, it's interesting how they're building Kenta out the gate. I know he has the history of Kenta Kobashi. I was very well educated today. In addition to that, he comes from Pro Wrestling Noah, one of New Japan's competitors to an extent, and now 5 years away, trying to do the thing with WWE-NXT did not work out, and now he's 2-0. Kenta beat Ibushi, and now Kenta beat Tanahashi. These are two guys who Ibushi, who went all the way to the finals last year, I believe, because I thought it was going to be Ibushi Omega before the AEW stuff came along. And Tanahashi, of course, he is the reigning and defending G1 Climax champion. Then you have Okada, who's a champion. He squares off. He has 4 points. He beat Tanahashi, and he beat Zack Sabre Jr., which... outstanding matchup. He had a tombstone where Zack Sabre let go at the last second. Nothing really bad happened. It's really, really cringeworthy, but nothing happened to my knowledge with CSJ. But I believe the champion hasn't won the G1 since the year 2000. But I do see Okada losing a couple of matches. I just don't see... Because this is like the Royal Rumble in the sense that the winner gets the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. If Okada wins, what? He doesn't get the main event? Or he is the main event and there's no match? I highly doubt, highly, highly doubt that ever since this new stipulation has been put in place that he actually wins the G1. I could be shocked. Maybe he wins it. Maybe they build him up to be the ultimate champion. I think he's one of the greatest IWGP heavyweight champions of all time. But with that being said, does he win? I don't know. We'll see. Looking at the A block, you have Evil. Huge, huge win over Ibushi. I love the end where Rocker Romero goes, "Everything is evil!" Boom. Love it. So he's back in his winning ways. Evil, I think, was tied for third last year in the G1. I don't see him going far. I'm telling you, I think Jay White's going to get on a little streak. And I also think Ibushi's going to get on a little streak. I know they've been... New Japan, as you guys know, is the king of comebacks. Look at Okada. He went from losing the title to Omega, to red hair, balloons. He was all over the place. Then... he got turned on by his boy Ghetto and Chaos. He put Jay White over at Wrestle Kingdom and then eventually won the New Japan Cup. And once again, he is the champion. They love comeback stories. And I believe it's going to happen with Jay White or Ibushi. I really think Ibushi's going to come back and go on a tear. And I would not be surprised if he's in the finals of this G1 tournament with this block. They have, I believe, Evil and Sonata. They're going to go face-to-face against each other. So it's going to be interesting there. You have Balak Fale, who lost to Lance Archer today. I don't see him going far. He's a big threat, big man in the tournament, Fale, but I don't see him going far. Archer may surprise me, but I doubt it. And ZSJ, I'm shocked. He has 0 points, which I think he's another guy that's going to get on the tear as well. So I love the G1. I love the fact that the winner gets the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, I guess 14, I believe that is now. So you have that. That's what's going on. We had some amazing matches over the weekend, and of course it wraps up Monday mornings, I guess Monday for them and early Monday for us and late Monday for them. They have some great matchups coming up. I actually screenshotted the G1 29 climax. I love New Japan. I love, you know, a lot of people say, hey, could they survive post the era of the Elite? Last night was also Fight for the Falling. I'm not going to talk too much about that, but I do want to talk about Evolve real quick while I find the B block for New Japan. So it's very interesting. Paul Heyman comes out and puts over JD Drake, puts over Austin Theory, which I think he is going to be the future of this business. So that was a great matchup. I gotta watch it again. I was dozing off in and out. I did see the main event, which was Adam Cole and Tozawa. Amazing main event, and Adam Cole is just on another level. I'm afraid what's gonna happen with him once you know, he goes up to the main roster, which, you know, I'm afraid of all those guys. So okay, so no, that's A block. We already discussed that. Naito, I believe he still has 0 points. This is old a little bit here. Yes, I know Moxley has. I know he got 2 points. He beat Tai Chi. That match is okay. The thing is with Moxley, it's all about his hardcore style. That style that you saw against Joey Janela and what you know Moxley pre WWE. I don't see him going far in a tournament. Someone who A is not full time in New Japan and B is more with AEW, has a deal with AEW in place where he's allowed to do stuff with New Japan. So I don't see him going far. I do see him winning maybe two matches or maybe be a tie at the end. I don't see that. I don't see that. But I don't see him going far. I forgot who won between Cobb and Ishii. That was an outstanding matchup for the heavyweights. I want to say Cobb. I could be wrong. Jay White, I know he's 0-2. Goto, huge win over Jay White. They're trying to build Goto up for whatever reason. Goto having a lot of history and all that. Naito, he lost to Yano. I can't believe Yano has 2 points. I just cannot believe Yano has 2 points over Naito. But if you look at the B block, if you look at realistically, you know, try to think of it from a kayfabe or non-kayfabe. Think of it from a realistic standpoint. Who do you think will be able to be in the finals, per se? Naito, for sure. He's always a sure bet, right? Juice Robinson, But John Moxley, perhaps, or Jay White. To me, I really think what they're going to do in the B block is Jay White, he's going to go on a tear, and he's going to win the B block, and he's going to represent the B block in the finals of this G1 tournament. Now, I'm excited with New Japan coming back in the fall to the Northeast area, where the first show is in Boston, the middle show is in New York City, and the last show is at the ECW Arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, or as they call it now, 2300 Arena. I'm not going to be able to make the show in Hammerstein. I'm upset. I'll be at a wedding, but I'm going to try my best to make it to either the Philly show that Sunday or the Boston show the first initial night that they're here. So that's what I think is going to happen with the B block. I see Naito, I know, upset special against versus Yano. Juice did win his bout against Shingo. I see Juice going far. Could be a threat for the B block, but I don't see him competing for the opportunity for the main event of Wrestle Kingdom. I just don't see it. I honestly don't see it. I could be wrong. I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't know. I don't see it. Goto may be a threat. Of course, Jay White's my pick to win the entire tournament, actually. Kaba. Jeff Cobb, I think he could make some noise, but I don't know. Shingo, I don't see him doing much. And Moxley, it all depends. They may leverage Moxley's star status to promote him to be in the final and this and that. So more eyeballs to the New Japan Network. So I don't know. So that's what's going to happen. I love the Ron Robin style. I know in the years past, they went from Ron Robin to single elimination. back to round robin. It's real interesting because with the points, then with there's tiebreakers involved. I know we're talking kayfabe. I know it's pre-planned, but it's still fun because everyone faces each other one time, and based on the total amount of points, then the top person, I guess, represents the respective block. You know, the way I like it, the way I would prefer it, the G1 tournament with, you know, 10 people in each, they could keep it the same. What I would like is the top two make it from each block, and they have semifinal and final. I just feel that with that way, you know, it's a dual die single elimination tournament at the end. There's no margin for error, and it kind of reminds me of the World Cup. That's the only thing I don't like about the when they book the G1 New Japan is, okay, you have individuals who are tied for second or third and this and that. There's no tiebreaker match or beat the clock, or, you know, if you compare it to let's say soccer, let's say to the Copa America. So, you know, there was three or four groups. I would say three groups, right? Or four groups. Let's use the World Cup, for example, huh? There's all these, let's say, I think there's eight groups, right? And then at those eight groups, there's 32 teams total. And then the top two from each pool, or in this case, block, right, make it to the knockout round. So they could do something similar. They don't have to wear it 16 or even eight. It could just be the top two make it to the you know, semifinals and final. I mean, I don't know. That's my take. That's my take. I don't know. But I guess it makes it more interesting. You know, there's pros and cons of having the top two and then the semifinal and final. One of the pros of having it the way it is, you know, you leave it as is and you just try to win your division. It's like the baseball. There's no wild card. But the cool part about adding the knockout to it is, oh, you have a guy who's, oh my God, he could be 3 seed or 4 seed. Oh, but if he wins, he has a tiebreaker. It could be up to the 2 seed and he can make the semifinals. You know, it just, I don't know. To me, it makes better television, but I'm not the writer. Who am I? I am just a guy who has a podcast, who hasn't done a podcast in a while, and for whatever reason has just been MIA. So that's what the G1. I expect some streaks, winning streaks, and some losing streaks to come down. I do expect Jay White to go on a tear. I expect John Moxley to continue to go his way. I expect Goto to go far. They're trying to really push Goto, and I expect Naito to be in the conversation for the finals in the block. And as far as the A block, I read it earlier today. I do see Okada losing a little bit here. I'd be surprised if they make him win the entire thing. I do see Zack Sabre. He's 0-2. I do see him doing something down the line. And I do see Ibushi going on a tear. I don't see Tanahashi going back-to-back. I do see him in a conversation, but I don't see him going back-to-back and being and represent the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, I believe, 14. So that's my picks. My picks is out of the B block, it's going to be Jay White. And out of the A block, it could be Ibushi. I think Jay White or Ibushi could win it all, but you never know. You will never know. I didn't know Yano was going to beat Naito yesterday. So I like it. I like it because they make it very unpredictable. So New Japan, great job. I definitely think that WWE should, I don't want to say copy exactly, but what they could do is use, like, you have all this dead months post-Mania. You have April, you have May, you have June, you have July, all the way to SummerSlam. You could use May for Money in the Bank, and after that, you could use May, June, July for King of the Ring, right? And then with the King of the Ring, you could have matches throughout every Raw and SmackDown, respectively. And then you could make the finals at this pay-per-view coming up to that night, Extreme Rules, per se, and then the winner faces the champion at SummerSlam. It just makes so much more sense from a prestigious standpoint, as opposed to having a battle royal or just someone nominates themselves as a number one contender per se. I don't know. I just feel that WWE should readopt the King of the Ring and have the winner face the champion at SummerSlam. I just feel that it's very easy booking. People like it. It appeases the man, appeases the purist, and at the same time, it's just simple booking for the spring. You know, the spring is the worst time because that's post-Mania. in between SummerSlam. I think now after tonight, you'll see the booking, the wrestling booking getting better. You know, people say competition doesn't drive your business, but it definitely does. Look, you had the Evolve show last night, going head to head. The NXT show was at least the same day as the same day as All Out. So yeah, I love that competition is here. I don't think they're a direct competitor of WWE for a long time. I do think they're a direct competitor in the financial sense, obviously, with the Khan family, but I definitely don't see them being competitors. So wow, a lot today with the G1. I saw Evolve a little bit. I didn't catch the entire thing. I'd be lying to you if I say I'm going to sit here and do a full recap on the entire show. But that's my two cents of the G1, my reason why they should bring back a King of the Ring. You know, it ties into King of the Ring and to SummerSlam. In addition to that, spoke a little bit about Fight for the Fallen a little bit last night. They decided to close the show with the Rhodes Brothers versus Young Bucks. Good call, because that's the feud that's been building for a couple of months, ever since the matchup brother versus brother at Double or Nothing. So you have a lot. There was a lot of wrestling that happened last night. You have the Evolve show last night, Fight for the Fallen last night. You had the G1 for those of you who are hardcore fans the last couple of nights, and then tonight wraps up with Extreme Rules. So we'll see what happens tonight with Extreme Rules. I know they're going to open up with Undertaker and Reigns against McIntyre and Shane, which I'm tired of that feud. And then we'll see what happens down the line with some of the other matches. I don't expect any major title changes to occur today. I think this, whatever matches happen today, wrap up, I guess, the stupid McMahon era per se. And I think starting tomorrow, you're going to see the road to SummerSlam have a clearer picture with Paul Heyman writing Mondays and with Bischoff writing head writer for Tuesdays. I really think that we're going to head into SummerSlam, and then afterwards, whether it's the night after or whether it's the week after, we're going to have a draft, I believe, within the next 2 months, I think. So that's what I think is going to happen. So this wraps up the McMahon season, and I think that wraps up that, and then Heyman begins the era for Raw and Bischoff for SmackDown. So that is that. I have a few more minutes, I think. How much time do I have? I've been recording for a while. All right, so let me just take a look at from last night. I caught a little bit of Fight for the Fallen. I know I said I didn't catch it. I caught the beginning, and then for whatever reason, my TV froze here and there. But it was a decent show. Very, very interesting venue, and Cody would love to come back, he said. But I think I like the show. I like the format, and I think that's what Tony Khan said last night was interesting. He said what you saw last night is what you're going to see every week on TV. So now, yeah, the initial buzz is all the alternative to WWE. So, and they've pushed the WWE to so far now. But now it's about what they do on a weekly basis. This is going to be the real test. The real test as far as what can they do head-to-head versus WWE. So you had Nakajima and Presley defeated Britt Baker and Riho. You had that. Shawn Spears. I love Shawn Spears. Ty Dillinger, MJF, and Sammy Guevara defeated Janela, Havoc, and Darby Allin. I saw that match. It was okay. Brandi Rhodes beat Allie. It was okay. Dark Order, Divida Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus, and Jack Evans and Angelico. That was a pretty decent match. Then you had, I kind of discussed the main event already. I'm trying to, why is it not loading? Yeah, but I do see the Young Bucks still main eventing. I do see the Lucha Brothers still in the mix, and I like what they're doing with the tag division, because I think they could capitalize on what the WWE's not doing is capitalizing on their tag division. So Hangman Page defeats Kip Sabian. I saw that Jericho came out afterwards. Jericho loves the mask. He loves that mask stuff. So love that. It's a really good match, and I fully expect probably Jericho to be the first champ, or either he's gonna be the first champ or he'll put over Hangman Page. So we'll see what happens with that. But I'm leaning more towards him being the first champ. I don't know. It's just me. But I think Hangman Page should be the champ. He should be the flag bearer, the world champion at All Out. I think he deserves it. And then you have the Lucha Brothers defeated Kazarian, Scorpion Sky, aka SoCal, whatever they call themselves, SCU. That was good. Yeah, I think it's gonna be the Young Bucks against the Lucha Brothers in a ladder match at All Out. Should be good. And then Kenny Omega beat Seema. Great match between the two. Love Seema. Love Kenny Omega. As you know, everyone knows I love Kenny Omega. I have a lot of respect for him. And he went from the jokester to the junior heavyweight to heavyweight. No leader to like a Chase Owens to like the leader of the Bullet Club and the Elite, and breaking away from that. And it was good. Yeah, Jericho, and then Young Bucks beat Cody Allen and Dustin Rhodes via pinfall. So it was good. It was a very decent card. I don't like Bleacher Report Live, because at least the mobile version is like, it's always choppy. I don't know, it's always choppy. But I'm looking forward to what happens at All Out. Set up a lot for All Out. Main event is set. Chris Jericho, Hangman Page, Lucha Brothers against the Young Bucks, Omega against Moxley, Shawn Spears against Cody Rhodes. So it's a great quadruple main event, and I believe the undercard should be solid as well. So the big test for AEW is going to be not just All Out, but in October, you know, once their weekly television program begins, the same week Fox begins SmackDown on Fox. So you have that. So that's my two cents. All right, guys. So I just wanted to say thank you for all your support for all these years. October will be my 5-year anniversary with Choked Out Radio. Hasn't taken off like the way I wanted to from a subscriber standpoint, but I appreciate the support. I believe from a follower standpoint, I've hit my goal. I've met a lot of wrestlers, a lot of wrestling personalities, a lot of wrestling fans at all these shows. So I'm really excited. I wanted to be in Philly and I can't. Of course, you know, I have a married man, so it's very difficult for me to step out and do these things. But I will be at House of Glory on August 9th, and looking forward to seeing the Young Bucks, and looking forward to perhaps, you never know, being an All Out. So, all right, I appreciate you guys, and please share. And we discussed the G1, A Block, B Block, discussed a little bit about Evolve, did a quick review of Fight for the Falling, and now it's time to watch Extreme Rules. All right, take care. Tell your friends. Bye. Bye. Bye.